Hello and welcome back to IT Camp. I'm Harold Wong with Microsoft, and in this module, I'm going to cover off on some storage enhancements in Windows Server 2012. More specifically, storage spaces and thin provisioning. Just like all the other modules so far, the agenda is very similar. I'm going to take a look at a quick overview of what storage spaces and thin provisioning is. Then I'll cover off on why you would care about this. We'll look at the technology overview and dig a little bit deeper into the actual technology. And at the very end, I'll follow up with another video on the demo over these different components. So as you look at IT Camp and you look at the storage spaces and thin provisioning, it's really about taking chunks of storage or different physical storage drives, grouping them together into what's called a storage space. So you're going to actually look at maybe JBOD or just a bunch of disks. You're going to find a way to take disparate storage and actually make it look like a single storage interface that you expose to either the end user or to a group of servers. Thin provisioning is essentially doing just-in-time provisioning. Allows you to actually create a volume that allocates more space than you actually have in terms of physical storage. At the same time, as you start utilizing it, you can trim back and start reclaiming the space that's unused. So when you look at these two technologies and you ask, why do I really care about them? Well, let's take a look at why you should care and why I do care. Right, if you look at some of the storage pool capabilities, I can take a lot of lower cost storage, whether they be SATA drives, they could be solid state drives, I can even connect it to some of the higher end storage like my iSCSI or my Fibre Channel, so my SAN-based technology, group them all together, and then I can create a pool, a single name, a single instance that I expose so that I can create then shares or volumes on my file server to expose a large set of data or a large set of storage space. Right? And in a multi-tenancy environment, I have the ability to integrate with Active Directory domain services. I have the ability to control permissions as to who can actually administer a given set of storage pools. So even though in my environment I might have 40 storage pools, I don't have to allow all my administrators to have admin access to every single one of them. I can group them off such that there is a person that's the IT admin for the HR group, and they can manage the HR storage pools or the accounting or the dev team or engineering team. So I have the ability to delegate the management and the administration to individuals or to groups within my organization rather than opening it all up to everybody. When you look at the resilient capability of storage spaces, you can actually create them with either no resiliency, so a plain stripe set, or we actually have two optional components where you can do a mirror, or you can also do a stripe set with parity. So I will show that later on in the demo, but either way, know that there is flexibility in configuring these storage spaces, whether they have availability kind of parameters or capabilities or features or not. If I look at continuous availability, if I integrate my storage spaces with clustering and take advantage of the failover clustering that comes with Windows Server, I can also then make my storage spaces highly available and know that if I have a failure in one node, one of my other nodes will pick up and the data or that storage will actually transfer over and be handled with zero loss connectivity pieces. So when I look at thin provisioning, right, that second item there, it's allowing me to actually provision more storage than I actually have. So maybe today I might only have 5 hard drives, 2 terabytes each, and I'm really going to do 8 terabytes of storage. But I really want to provision this so that it looks like I have 100 terabytes. And I know I'm not going to use it all today, but in the future as I need it, I can just continue to add more physical storage to that pool. So I can grow the capacity under the hood without really having to worry about, oh, I ran out of disk space, now I've got to do all these different components or different things like you would in the past to try to grow that volume. So now I can immediately set my volume size to something that's large, and then under the hood, I can start adding physical capacity as I need to. And because this is all done via the server manager tool or the management tool directly within server, it's very easy to set up. It's easy to manage. If you're a lover of PowerShell, and I love that capability and that management environment, you can also do all of the management from PowerShell and take advantage of the scripting capabilities that is the strength and the power of PowerShell. So if you want to, well, the next piece is, let's go ahead and look at the technical overview and dig into it a little bit more. So one of the things you do have to remember is this is a new feature of Server 2012. So you must have Server 2012 in order to implement this. You can have SATA drives, you can have solid state drives, it could be SCSI, it could be SAS, it could be anything that's exposed where server can see the storage and treat it as a physical storage device. If you want to implement a clustered environment, then you do need two or more Windows Server 2012 boxes in your environment set up in a cluster. If you're going to do the clustering of storage pools, do also know that there is a limit of 4 nodes in the cluster that can handle that clustered storage pool. Right, so it's got a lot of flexibility and it works very well. In this slide, in the next few slides, I'm going to actually kind of start drawing on the screen a little bit. I want to show you and kind of walk through exactly what's going on. So I'm going to go ahead and use my mouse and bring up the pen. The key to remember here is I start down here at the bottom, which is I somehow expose a bunch of disks, whether they're physical drives that are installed in the box. So if you look here, you can see there are some physical drives that are being exposed, or these physical drives here. It could be iSCSI storage that I'm connecting to. It could be something that's connected to via fiber channel over Ethernet or fiber channel. Either way, it's got to be storage that can be seen by Windows Server as storage. And in my example, and what I'm going to be doing in the demo later on, is if you look here on the right-hand side, we've got some disks, right? They are unallocated. However, they are initialized. So you do need to make sure that the disks are initialized and they show up, and then I can actually select them as I start to create the pool. When I add in the raw storage and I go to storage pools, I will see something called primordial pool, which is essentially all storage devices that have not been allocated to something else. So this is the pool of storage that's available to be used for storage spaces. As I go to the next slide here, right, it's kind of building up again. So I have all the storage that I've added in as part of my primordial pool. I go ahead and create a new storage pool. And once I create the storage pool, I will add in the drives that I want. So maybe I will select 2 drives for the time being, and then I will create that pool. After I create the pool, I will go ahead and create that virtual disk, right? The disk that is exposed, like E drive, well, technically not E drive, but another drive that's essentially taking all of this. Maybe I'm mirroring this, or I'm creating it as a stripe or a stripe set with parity, but I'm going to create this virtual disk that is essentially the conglomeration of everything. And I can say then I'm going to create that volume. And maybe this one was 4 terabytes and 4 terabytes, but when I create my volume, I'm going to create a 100 terabyte volume, because I'm going to do it as thin provisioning. The nice thing about that, as I said earlier, is when I actually start to hit that limit, I can have operations manager that notifies me, or some other mechanism, because it's monitored, inform me that I've reached my limit or I'm getting close, and I can go ahead and come back over to the physical side and insert another, you know, physical drive, maybe insert something over here that's 10 terabytes. However that works, I have the ability to insert more drives in, and the volume is already created. I don't have to worry about extending the volume. I could if I want, but I don't actually have to. Right? And then at that point, I would create my folder structure. I would share them out as SMB shares or NFS shares, and now my clients can actually connect from wherever they are and store and access files. So that's a very simple, straightforward walkthrough of how that whole process works as you start to create these storage spaces, and also looking at that thin provisioning capability that's built in. So if you look at the management management interface or management piece of it, this is just kind of showing you screenshots of what it's going to look like. And I walk through it, but if you look at that very top piece, that's showing the pool. And then if you look at the very lower left hand, you'll see the storage spaces that were created. You'll see the physical disks that are made up or make up that storage space. When we create or configure the pool, you'll see different screens where I can choose. And I'm going to switch back over here again where I have my pointer. But as I select the storage or the physical storage devices, I can choose to actually make it part of the data store. Or as you see over here, I can actually make it a hot spare. So I have the ability to automatically designate certain devices as hot spares in the case that I actually do lose one of the other data drives. Right? And the screen over here on the far right is just showing progress. As I click next and say create, it's actually going to show me the steps that it goes through as it creates the actual pool and the different steps. So I can see that everything completed, and at the end of that, the pool will be created. And then I can go ahead and create my virtual disk. And the same thing here, right? You're going to see the screenshot by screenshot, step by step, step 1, 2, 3, and 4, as to how the volume or that virtual disk actually gets created and the screens that you'll see. As we look at the different redundancy capabilities, I mentioned there was simple, which is essentially a stripe set, no redundancy, no failover, or no fault tolerance, but definitely increased throughput, good performance of disks, as you would expect out of a stripe set. The second one is a mirror. So essentially, I'm going to write something to one disk, I'm going to write to the other. So I'm just doing a mirror, and it does require 2 or 3 physical disks. The last one is parity. So I am going to go ahead and take advantage of parity and stripe that across my disks, in which case I do need at least 3 or more physical drives. And this will reduce the overall capacity depending on how many drives I have, what the capacity is of those. And then the performance also does go down just a little bit because there is a parity write that has to occur. Just like you would think of or as you would expect in any RAID kind of a configuration where you're writing parity. As we kind of build on that, another nice piece or another nice capability that's exposed in Server 2012 as it relates to storage is data deduplication. That's a big piece when you're starting to look at the types of files that are stored on a file server. There's probably a lot of files that are very similar. You might have some source files that are stored in multiple directories, and they might take up 2 terabytes of space, but they're essentially the same files. In the past, prior to Server 2012, if you wanted to take advantage of dedupe type capabilities, you had to go to a third party. You had to use either third party software solutions, or you had to do it at the SAN level. Well, in Server 2012, it's just built into the product where I can enable data deduplication, and then I can enable it on each volume, and now I have the ability to just out of the box reduce the total amount of storage that's actually consumed in my environment. Now, once again, the percentage of saved space will depend on the types of files that you have. But if you look at the example I'll do or I'll expose when I walk through the demo later on, is I'm going to copy some source files, and we'll see that if I have multiple copies, it truly does do the dedupe, and I only have one copy and then pointers to the other, so I can save lots of space over the long run. So imagine VHD files where you're doing a lot of common files as well, then you can also have a huge savings on actual storage that you actually have to use to store all those VHD files. So I'll show this. But do know it's a built-in capability, so you do need to install the feature. And all this is showing is I can do it from the GUI, or if you're a lover of PowerShell, you can always install via PowerShell as well. So this screen is showing some of the PowerShell commandlets that you can use to either create a new storage pool, to configure parameters around storage pool. But either way, just know that if you are a fan of PowerShell, everything is manageable via PowerShell. For those of you who are not comfortable, I hope you do get comfortable, but the GUI is still a tool that we didn't do away with. It's still there. So don't freak out at this point, but know that either way, whether you want to script everything or you want to do it via the GUI, both options are totally available and totally supported. And this screen here is showing integration of storage pools with failover clustering. So if you have the 2-node, 3-node, 4-node failover cluster, you can create the storage pool and have that incorporated in so that you have the ability to do those failovers of the storage pool, not just of individual physical drives, but actually of the storage pool from one node to the other. Seamless failover, zero loss packets, the whole thing when you look at clustering technology with our product set. When you look at thin provisioning and trim, I did go over that in detail when I kind of walked through the graphical slide, but the key here to remember is it is there, it's enabled by default, and it allows you to actually provision your volume to a size beyond what your physical capabilities are today, so that you have the ability later on to supplement and add that physical capability as the need arises. So it allows you to present more storage than you actually have, but know that you have room to grow and can grow as the need arises. So I will get to, in the next video, a demo of storage spaces where I will show you how to create it, and I will also show you how to do the thin provisioning as well as data dedupe. Before I actually conclude this session, I do want to call out some links that will be very helpful. So if you're interested in downloading and starting to play with Server 2012, do take advantage of that third link, which is aka.ms/hwws2012. It'll take you to the download page, download the product, and start evaluating it. There's also System Center 2012 if you want to look at the full private cloud stack. If you want to get some free online training through Microsoft Virtual Academy, there's a link for that as well. Or if you just want to take advantage of some pre-built virtual labs that are out there, that very last link also takes you to a property from Microsoft where there are virtual labs built out, hosted in our environment. There's lab manuals, that, you know, everything is just set up for you, and you just walk through a pre-guided virtual lab. Very nice, but I would encourage you to go ahead and download everything as well so that you get the experience of setting everything up from the ground floor all the way to the very end. And with that, thank you very much, and stay tuned for the demo video coming up next.